Okay, I love engaging the angelic realm. I mean, since we've already looked at some scriptures, fix our eyes on what is unseen, so we can look into that realm. Seen realm, unseen, eternal realm, angelic. Spiritual beings occupy those realms, all of them, including this natural realm, because we are told in Hebrews to be careful that we are hospitable just in case we entertain angels, so they can be physically manifested. Angels and other spiritual beings are part of that unseen realm, and we know in the Old Testament so many people engaged them. I mean, I'm not going to go into that. You know that in the New Testament, Mary did, Joseph did, Jesus did, Peter, Paul, John, many others. It was so normal that when Peter was let out of prison by an angel and he knocked on the door, the servant girl who was there basically said, oh, it must be his angel. So they must have been very familiar with angels actually looking like the people that they were part of or becoming like that. And you have stories around where, you know, some guy, I can't remember his name, but he was basically saying that he was late for a speaking appointment, he was held up, he couldn't get there, he couldn't contact them, and then eventually he managed to contact them after the thing had started. And he said, look, I'm so sorry, I can't be there. And he said, well, what do you mean? You're on the stage speaking. Well, I bet that was a really, really good sermon. Job 38:4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang? And that's talking about the angels, because they were all associated with stars in the solar system and stars in the galaxy as and around. All the sons of God shouted for joy. So the angelic or spiritual realm was created first. So then they saw when God created the natural realm. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of the things which are visible. So everything we see now is a manifestation of energy that came out of that realm that was spoken into existence and framed. Hebrews 1:7, and of the angels he says, who makes his angels winds? So sometimes you feel breezes that come past. And winds move. And his ministers a flame of fire. And sometimes you feel heat when the angelic realm is present. You know, it used to be, people used to say, oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit's here. But actually, the Holy Spirit's in us. And a lot of what we used to do was like, come Holy Spirit, actually wasn't the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't order the Holy Spirit around. You know, he's God. So, and generally he's in us. And actually, he has a whole realm of helpers called angels that help him do stuff. You know, we have a phrase in English, which I'm not sure you understand, but it's that you don't buy a dog and bark yourself. God's God. He doesn't need to do a whole load of stuff that he can send the angels to do. And he does. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service to who? For the sake of those who inherit salvation. Well, who's that? Us, and also all the people who are yet to come into salvation, because everyone gets angels assigned to them before, well, at birth, at inception in fact. So they are there to serve and help us, to minister to us and with us and for us, and we've just not engaged. You know, a lot of our angels have worked overtime sometimes in our life to keep us safe. A few of mine have, because I've done a few crazy stunts in my life. And you do hear stories, you know, of people sort of tripping and falling in front of a car and being pulled back, and all of a sudden there's no one there. That's our guardian angels. Psalm 91:11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That's why we call them guardian angels. Because they're assigned to guard us, to help us, to protect us. And you have lots of names of angels. Guardian, archangel, seraphim, cherubim, living creatures, seven spirits of God, dominions, virtues, powers, authorities, principalities, or rulers. They're sort of the names of some orders of angels and some of where the angels operate. There are 10 classes of angelic spiritual beings which are in the canopy of angels, and there's a list of them there, and I'll go into them in detail in a minute. But there are obviously many other names, which are really relation to their tasks. See, the four angels that follow me around and get released when I come you know, sort of transformation, winds of change, sound of many waters, and refiner's fire, they're actually in order. That's why they're still at home with me and the church is here when I'm here, because they're an order of angels which have all got individual names, not just the name of the angel, because God has an order of angels to do various things. So that's why, you know, I can come and leave those angels up in the northwest, and hope, you know, they will stay if you continue to engage with them. You know, if you don't, they'll go off and find someone else who will. You know, because that's what they do. They're not going to stay around if they're not wanted. You know, so if we want to engage with them, then they'll engage. So there's a whole list, and some of the scriptures that relate to them, the chaos, the living creatures, Ezekiel 1:5, the ophanim, those spheres, the wheels within wheels, power sources, Ezekiel 1:16, 2 Kings 2, Eralim, mighty ones, Isaiah 33:7, Kashmalim, the shining ones, Ezekiel 1:4, mostly the ones there you get in worship, the sort of colours and the swirls and the sometimes you, so they move with hand movements. Things. Seraphim, burning ones, Isaiah 6:6, Malachim, messengers, Genesis 19:1, the Elohim, judges. I've not put a specific scripture up there because sometimes what God does, he uses angels, but it's described as God, like the angel of the Lord or the hand of the Lord. God hasn't got a hand. He's a spirit. So actually the hand of the Lord is often an angelic being that moves. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. Well, that's what watchers do. They're the eyes of the Lord that move to and fro to see. You haven't got any actual eyes like that that wander around the earth. That would be really weird, wouldn't it? See all these eyes in the sky. You know? But so there are angels associated with some of the things that God does. Ben, Eni, Elohim, sons of God, Job 38:7, cherubim, covering ones, Ezekiel 10:1, Ezekiel 28 as well. Ishim, the warring ones, Daniel 10:5. Revelation 5:11 talks about the canopy there of being 100 million in each. 10,000 times 10,000, which I think is 100 million. If my mass does not let me down. So the canopy, think of this as domes that are layers that are complete circles around. And within that canopy, each of the realms, each of the orders of angels occupy that realm, and it's not just empty space. You can go into it and you can see there are rooms in there, there are weapons in there, there are things they use, they're all in there. We tend to just sort of engage them to come and do something for us, but you can go and step into that realm and you can actually engage where they are. And some of it you can see what they do, and some of the living creatures are fascinating. So the first layer, which is the highest layer, which is the furthest away from the throne. So in terms of order, they're in that realm, the chaos, and they're the creatures, and Metatron is their chief, and he is the keykeeper and timekeeper of heaven. The Ophanim and Raziel is their chief, and they're the spheres, the power sources of heaven, and they move the throne around, and they can engage with your throne, and they can move you around the galaxy. Cool stuff. Eralim. Now, some of them get difficult to pronounce now, so it's either like Safkiel, the Kashmelim, the Mighty Ones, or the Shining Ones there, Tadzkiel, Seraphim, Gabriel, that's an easy one, we all know Gabriel. There are various sort of Gabriels, by the way, it's not just one. Burning Ones there, and then you have the Malachim, Uriel, Messengers, and the Elohim, Haniel, Judges. Ben, Elohim, Michael, again, there are various Michaels. Sons of God, which is my name, I like that one, Sons of God. Cherubim, Raphael, covering ones. And then Yishim, Sandelophon, the warring ones. They are around the canopy around God's throne, but they recognize authority. So when God's on the throne, and we're on our throne, then they recognize us and they're around us. So we can engage them and we can see them assigned to some of the things that God's doing. I will make all these slides available to everyone after we finish, and I'll let them to Peter in PDF files so everyone can actually have them with the things. Also, I'm videoing this and they're all on split screen on the video. So you should be able to also see them there. So the heavenly realm or the angelic layers around God's throne have encompassed the government of the courts of God around his throne, the canopy of the presence, that canopy of cloud, the ruling and administration of the canopy. So they do different things at different levels. And the ones further away, in a sense, in that realm, are not as authoritative as some of the ones closer down. But they still have a great lot to do. So the creatures, chariots of fire, horses, whirlwinds, swords, pillars of fire. I mean, there's so much in there. Fiery swords. You know, this fiery sword that was guarding the pathway to eternity is not a sword, it's a living thing. It moved all round on its own. They weren't carrying it or holding it. There's so many of them, yeah.
Just really quickly, sorry to interrupt. That cube that you got, is that the same Metatron, or is that a different...
It's the same Metatron, yeah. Metatron is the keeper of time and seasons. He's on a golden mountain in the Garden of God. I've met him, he gave me a key, and that's enabled me to open up the heavens for people when I do exercises and things with them. And he's around the throne and very much involved in the seasons of God, a keeper of keys. So often when you get given keys, he's involved. The Ophanim, those wheels, you know, those are sort of the power sources and the energy sources for the thrones. And they are also, when you have the thunder around the throne, it's because of that noise that they make. Cool things, you know. You see them in Ezekiel a lot when they're moving the throne and different things. I mean, it's very hard for someone to describe them. I mean, Ezekiel must have had a pretty hard job because he's seeing things that he's got no reference point for, and they've got no technology and stuff in those days in that way. So he's seeing like wheels within wheels, and he's trying to describe what he's seeing. You know, he did pretty good. The Erelim. They are very territorial. They sit over territories of heaven. They're sort of sons of God in the way that they have maturity to engage. They were engaging in the first creation. They're very strong, given territorial government. They rule sometimes with outside of that canopy within other time and space, and there are other dimensions. And I know some people have been engaging other dimensions, and it's interesting stuff. The Kashmilim, very much engaged with opening doors for the Father to come and inhabit our praises. So love, worship, and you know, they were around tonight when we were singing. So again, thank you ladies for leading us in that time, because they love the flow and engagement and their sort of ribbons of colour and things. The love worship. Seraphim, you know, the burning ones, you know, they are sentinels. They're very much watchers over different gates of God. They're many different gates. We're a gate. They're portals and everlasting doors. They're very much, there are some sentinels in terms of seraphim who watch over gates. We've got one in a portal on the top of our stairs in our building, and we make sure they're guarded, because not only good things can come through them sometimes. So that's why they watch and sentinel those things. But people can open those things negatively as well as positively. So you've got to be careful. We've smelt sort of very strong smells, like smoke. One day I thought the building was on fire. It was so strong, you know, and I was wandering around looking for the fire, and it was like it was all centered in this place. You know, it smelled like almost sulfur burning, you know, very intense smell. You know, not everyone can smell it, you know. A lot of people did in this case, but not everyone can, because it's a spiritual thing, you know, and you can have fragrances and perfumes and oils and things that are in rooms. I've had oil and perfumes coming out of my hands before. Some people can't actually smell them because they're spiritually smelt, so they're sensitive to the spirit. They also, of course, bring the refining fire and the fire coals from the altar in Isaiah 6. Very much involved with that. Malachim, or kings, they're the sort of king-like ones. They're the ones who stand behind our throne in heaven, waiting for us to mature, and they do a lot of work in organizing things around our life according to the kingdom before we mature. Again, they're watchers, they're sentinels there. They keep watch over the mountains of God, over the places of authority. And they hold a book and a record, and they have a place for each person because they have access to our destiny and the scroll of our destiny, so that they can engage with it to help us fulfill our destiny. And they do a lot of work, because it says in Matthew that they have an angel in heaven, and that's the angel. When it talks about the little children, and you know, about their angel in heaven, well, that's what they are. And they rule over the sphere that we rule. The principality that we rule over, they are involved with. Because the principality is not the name of a spiritual being, it's the name of a place. So think of the Principality of Monaco. It's a physical place that's called the Principality. That's what they do. They rule over and help us rule over our sphere of influence. The Elohim, Haniel, they look. Some of these look like lions. Sometimes you get lions coming to meetings. It's not always one of the four faces of God or the lion of the tribe of Judah. These are sometimes lion-like. And they are manifestations of the voice of God. And so they come to earth in the form of watchers. Now, I'm not talking about the watcher angels who fell. They're another sort, and we'll talk about it in a minute. These guys are watchers over the word. So when God speaks his word, it says it will not come back to him void. They watch over that word until it's fulfilled. So they're assigned to the word until that word is fulfilled. Sometimes that takes a while. So they're very involved with the spoken word to see God outwork that. And they become the manifestation of the voice of God. And they're involved with bringing that word through the everlasting doors sometimes. And, you know, the word is living. And so they're actually active in that living word. And they can't return until it's formed. You know, they're all over the atmosphere of the earth. They sit on the layer of the top atmosphere where those principalities are. And they look to see the word of God come through the atmosphere. Because sometimes that's where it's blocked. You remember Daniel and praying and the battle that was in the atmosphere? They are involved with that, with the atmosphere. Because sometimes they're sent through portals because the veil's open. But actually sometimes they need to come through the atmosphere because they clear it and they do things in the atmosphere, particularly when they're involved in areas of government around us. So they're very active in wanting to see the glory of God and the manifestation of that through the everlasting doors. That's their sort of key role. And then there's the government around the courts of God. You know, the mountain of God and the court system have angels in it, a lot of them, chancellors and different angels. So there's a whole judicial system that the angels are involved in. The Ben Elohim, the sons of God, Chief Michael, they were created in to have a dominion place in rulership, and they are the ones that are called the watchers in the book of Enoch, and they're also, you know, in Genesis 6, they left their estate and they came to earth. And the 200 who fell are locked up. They're the ones who are chained up and they can't come out. And I've seen them. You know, when God took me under the earth to see them, they're like 300 foot high. They're like, you know, no wonder they did some damage on the earth. You know, they came down to the earth and they left their first estate and they had a real powerful rulership, and they traded information with the people at that time for their DNA, because they know that DNA is the only thing that's going to inherit. So all the things about DNA and seed, wanting to inherit something where we are called to inherit, so they just tried to do a pollution of DNA. So the giants that were the offspring, the Nephilim, they rule on mountains. So that's why Caleb said, you know, give me the high country, give me the mountain region, because I'm going to take that ground, because I'm going to kill the giants, because they rule from a position of authority. We need to understand that. There's only 200 of the watcher angels fell. And, you know, there's 100 million, so there's a lot more we've got than fell. Cherubim, they have the faces of the lion, the ox, and the eagle, and the man. They carry the symbol of the nature of God. They desire that expression of God's nature, his government. They have a mandate to answer that call and reflect his image. They have eyes, you know, all those eyes and the wings and all that stuff, because they're always having their eyes on God. They're looking in all the time, into God, into his purposes, looking to reflect that purpose out, looking to bring that out into the universe. That was their operation. The Ishim, man-like beings, they're the messengers. They're the ones who often come and bring messengers. They're not winged. They're often man-like. They carry judgments. They carry scrolls. They're very much the chancellors in the courts. You know, chancellors don't have wings and all that stuff. They are very man-like, although they sometimes can be quite imposing and large, but they are man-like. And they deliver all the scrolls from the courts and the kingdoms and involved in many of the things that we see in the court and judicial system. Some of the scribes, and those are this, these are order. They look like men, but they are different to us, but they serve the throne and the desires of the king. That's what a chancellor does. He serves the throne into the position of government. So they're the embodiment of the spirit of wisdom, because the spirit of wisdom helps us rule so they know the protocols of judicial things. So that's why they do the chancellorship, the scribeship, involved in the court of kings and different things. So, and sometimes involved in the court strategy because they can help us with strategy. So there are 283 direct references, 107 in the old and 176 in the new. So much more angelic things in the new because the veil's torn. So overall, 1,000+ references, including their names and what they do. The term angel is really derived from the Greek angelos, which means messenger, and the Hebrew equivalent malak, which means messenger. But all the other names that are often transcribed are actually the Hebrew names that I actually said before, which are not just these general terms, but are specific sorts of angels. Obviously, Elohim, I talked about being some of the name of God and translated in what God does. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush before the Lord spoke to Moses. So when an angel appears, the task is to convey the message and do the will of God and the things he sent. So the focus is very rarely on the actual description of the angel, because the attention and focus shouldn't be on that. It's on the message they bring. So that's why you don't get great descriptive detail with them, because there's no need, because their thing is to bring a message. So they don't really all have wings. You know, that's a general sort of, you know, one of those religious things that they come in religious pictures. Some do appear physically, some come in dreams, and some come in visions. They appear in those dreams and visions. Some are a human form, that's scripture Hebrews 13:2 about not neglecting hospitality. Angelic manifestations, sometimes when they come, fire, light, colors. Often you can see flashing colors sometimes around a room, flashing lights around a room, that's angels moving in and out of the realm. Sometimes lights, colors, feathers, sometimes you sort of, there's manifestations of feathers sometimes in rooms. You know, I mean, Ian Clayton laughs about that and says, oh, they bumped through the portal again and knocked a feather off. You know, it's like, I don't know. Power orbs, you know, we've got lots of pictures of power orbs in our meetings where, you know, some people say, oh, that's just camera flare and that sort of stuff. I mean, I've tested it. You know, I'm one who's going to test it out. You know, we had a Sunday meeting where we took some photos for some reason. They were just filled with these power orbs, different places. So I went up next day into the same room, basically same camera, not cleaned, had same lighting conditions, and I took pictures of exactly the same thing, and there was no power orbs there. You know, because it wasn't just lens dust and all that stuff, because I took exactly the same to show that it isn't just that. Fragrances and sounds. Sometimes they come and you hear sounds and you smell fragrances and you feel winds and breezes. Sometimes it's very active and they manifest in dreams and visions. So I've got a list, there are two lists of where they came in the Word of God, whether they were in dreams, whether they're in person, whether they came physically to all the people. So there's a whole list of those who, you know, were interested. You can have a look at it when you see the slides. Another set of terms is really about the heavenly entourage, you know, the throne and the wonder and the awesomeness of the holy, holy, holy. Because there's a whole choir of angels and all they do is sing all the time. Wonderful sound. You know, it's, we think some of our songs are good. You should hear some of the stuff that they sing. It's very difficult to describe because we haven't got all the notes and all the things that they have, but it's an amazing thing. You know, they are the sort of sons of God, the heavenly host, the celestial beings, rather than the ones who are on messenger duty and sending things into this realm. Their focus is never leaving that realm. They just surround God's presence all the time. You know, it's amazing. The heavenly host, you know, the worship, the courts, different things. Four living creatures, of course, are created beings. Four faces of God, seven spirits of God, created beings. Cherubim covering the ark, chancellor's court, scribe's court, caretakers of our thrones, that stuff. So the unseen realm also has the cloud of witnesses that are not angels, but they are the spirits of the righteous men made perfect, and they also are around us, surrounding us, and they do get involved. And they often come to the courts and cheer and are so excited when they see us coming back into our places of government. Now, it's great to see how joyful they are. Hebrews 12:1. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I used to think it said a crowd when I was researching. It's always a big crowd. And that's a cloud. That's the cloud that Jesus went back into when he went up to heaven. He didn't go up into the fluffy stuff in the air. He went up with a cloud and he's going to come back with another cloud. And if we're with him, we'll be in that cloud. Or we'll be seeing it when it comes. So they are the spirits of believers who comprise the church in heaven and engaged. We as a church, we have 12 assigned to us specifically, very helpful to our bench of 12. So again, Hebrews 12, 18. If anyone has an issue saying you're always talking about angels and, you know, well, you can't talk to angels, you can engage angels, it's all wrong. Well, just point them to this scripture. You know, you have come to myriads of angels. It's something that's available, it's open for us. That is the court system of heaven. We'll look at that a little bit more detail when we look at the court system, if I get onto that teaching. There are different courts, there are different layers and different levels, and those are the different levels. Kingdom of God, kingdom of earth, they engage into this realm, and the court of the accusation, the mobile court, can manifest around us when we convene it. Also can manifest in heaven when it's convened by the enemy to accuse us. There's the kingdom of God, where there's the court of war, the court of angels, kingdom of heaven, where there's the court of scribes and chancellors, heaven itself, where there's the court of kings, court of the upright, and court of the councils of the fathers, and then heaven of heavens, the court of judges, the court of the Lord, and the court of the 70. And I've been in all of those but two. Not very often in some of them, but very often in a lot of them. Now, that's a sort of traditional lovely guardian angel that's watching over us. They don't really look like that. I've never seen one. And they certainly don't look like that. This lovely little cherub that's just there. You know, you wouldn't want to meet a cherubim unawares. It's like they're serious beings. That's more what it's like. Four living creatures, throne of God, seven spirits of God, the thunder and lightning and the amazing things coming out of the throne room. 24 elders and all the myriads of angels. It's like, wow, awesome. You know, that's what some of them are like. You know, some of them are pretty powerful beings. You know, cherubim. Another version of cherubim, four faces of God. You know, with the feet of a ox. You know, different things. That's what my horse and angel looks like. White winged horse. You know, he looks very similar to that. Very helpful to me. Brings things, takes me places sometimes. That's what my other angel looks like. You don't want to mess with him. He's a really serious dude. Fiery horses. You know, some of them look like that. You know, some of the seraphim that bring the burning fire around us. You know, Cashmelim. Someone similar to very, very colourful, elegant, graceful in their presentation. Sometimes you don't see the physical form, but you see the colour and the swirl that they go around. You know, fiery whirlwinds. You know, wheels within wheels within wheels. You know, power sources of the throne. Fiery pillars. You know, pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Angels. You know, fiery sword. Portals of angels all waiting to pour through. Hey, that's a good one. Sometimes it's like, hey, all the angels and coming around Jesus and us, when we engage the court of angels, they all come around. I mean, they just long for us to come, you know. They desire us to come. So, you know, the four angels that we have, you know, here and engaging, you know, they're here for this new season. They're helping to bring transformation to us, to bring us into this journey. You know, transformation, winds of change, sound of many waters, refiner fire, refiner's fire. You know, we need to learn to engage with them if we really want to come into this new thing, because they're sent by God to help us to transform it. But you don't want to mess with it. It's not just a fun thing. Oh, great, we've got some angels. We'll just have some fun with them. It's serious.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.